So, in nonviolent communication, the focus of our attention is on needs. We want people to see how their behavior affects human needs, whether it fulfills their own needs or doesn't, whether it fulfills others' needs or not. It's when we are connected in this way to what everyone is needing that we have the greatest chance of finding ways of getting everybody's needs met. But when any criticism gets into the dialogue, any words that imply wrong, bad, stupid, etc., instead of ending in compassionate giving, we're far more likely to end in alienation, wars, etc. After we have made clear expressions of what's alive in us, namely what we're observing, what we're feeling, what we're needing, if our need is not getting met, then we need to end on a clear request, and this request needs to make explicit what response we're wanting from the person we're speaking with at this moment. For example, a teacher gave me this real example from her classroom. She told me that a boy had been tapping on his desk while she was talking, and this was disrupting her. So she told me that, "Marshall, you know, I did just what you had taught us to do in other sessions. I told him that when I hear you tapping on the desk, I feel frustrated because I have a need to communicate with the students right now, and this is making it hard for me." Well, she had done a very good job of expressing what she was observing, feeling, and needing. But notice she didn't say what she wanted. And I said, "I don't hear a request in there." She said, "I did, that's right, I forgot, I did make a request." I said, "What was the request?" "I told him I don't want you tapping on your book while I'm talking." And I said, "Then what happened?" She said, "He tapped on his desk." So she had told him what she didn't want. She didn't want him tapping on the desk. But in nonviolent communication, we tell people what we do want rather than what we don't want. So if she had ended on a request of the kind that we're advocating in nonviolent communication, she would have said, "Would you be willing to lay your pencil down on the desk, you see, without tapping further?" You can add that what you don't want after you have said what you do want. So we want to make clear requests after we have made our needs clear. We need to also know the difference between a wish and a clear request. A wish says generally what we would like to happen in the future. So if she had said to him, "I would like more awareness on your part of how this is disrupting the class," that would be a wish. She would be telling him what she wants him to be aware of, but not telling him what she wants him to do at this moment. So, in nonviolent communication, when we've expressed a need that isn't met, we end on a clear request of what we want back at this moment, and the request needs to be in action language. We cannot use vague language like, "I want you to help me." What does that mean? In different connections, it could mean quite different things. So we have to say not, "I want you to help me with this problem." You have to say, "I'd like you to tell me what you think would get my needs met in this situation." "Tell me" is much more specific than "help me." But it's not only important that we make very clear requests in clear action language, it's very important that we present the request as a request and not as a demand. Because if people hear demands, it takes much of the joy away from doing anything, and it is much more likely to provoke resistance than cooperation. Now, it's hard for people not to hear demands, especially if they have been in situations with authorities who think it's their job to make demands and who tell people you either do it or else. Or parents who say, please may be in a very nice way, but the child has experience from the past that if they don't do it, in some way or other, they will be blamed or punished. So therefore, we need to make our request in a way that people trust that it is a request and not a demand. I was asked to do some training of a group of 40 students in one school system. These students were labeled as socially and emotionally maladjusted. Now, of course, if we had been doing training in that school system before, we would have tried to make people clear about such language leads to self-fulfilling prophecies. When you label students in a certain way, instead of getting what you would like in relationship to these students, your labels are likely to create exactly what you are diagnosing them as. So I knew that since these students were in a class and they knew they were labeled as socially and emotionally maladjusted, I could imagine it was going to be a pretty challenging day. And it started off challenging. I walked into the room, and about half of the class was hanging out the window, screaming obscenities at their friends in a courtyard below. I had to raise my voice to be heard, and I made a request. I said, excuse me, I would appreciate it if you would each come over and sit down. I'd like to tell you who I am and what I'd like to do today. I'd say maybe half the class came over, and there had been so much noise I wasn't sure that everyone had heard me. So I repeated my request, and this time everybody came over with the exception of two young men. But as my luck would have it, the two young men that didn't come over were the biggest ones in the class. And I said to them, would one of you two gentlemen please tell me what you heard me say? And one of them responded by saying, you said we had to come over and sit down. See, he was hearing a demand. I made a request. He was hearing a demand. So I said, sir, I've learned to use sir with people who have biceps like he did. I said, sir, would you be willing to tell me how I could let you know what I was wanting so it didn't sound like I was telling you what you had to do? He said, huh? I said, could you tell me how I could let you know what I wanted in a way that didn't sound like I didn't care equally to what you wanted? He stopped for a moment. I don't know. I said, just what's happening between you and me right now is much of what I want to talk about today. I believe that folks can get along much better if they can just say to one another what they would like without making any demands. So that's why I wanted to know how I could let you know what I wanted in a way that didn't sound like a demand. So hearing that, would you be willing to come on over and see how we could communicate in this way? And that intrigued him, and the two came over and we had a very productive day. But with many people, this is very hard to get them to trust that our requests are requests and not demands. To whatever degree people carry memories that when they don't do what other people want, they have been criticized, guilted, blamed, punished, then it becomes very hard to trust that when somebody says what they would like, that it is a request and not a demand.